Welcome to What's Left, a weekly political discussion challenging the mainstream left. I'm Eduardo Abarca with Andy Lipson. Today, we will discuss the ongoing manifestations, protests.
And demonstrations.
Demonstrations, manifestaciones.
And blockades.
And blockades that are happening in France. And we switched up our topic from last week that we had said we were going to do G20 to this topic because it is...
You were the guy who mentioned it.
Well, I was only sending you messages.
But it was a good idea.
Well, because it's... I keep up with French, the French media as well. And I keep up with especially French, British, and Mexican because also mostly where I grew up with. And it's just ongoing. If you listen to France 24, anyone can go, it's just ongoing. It was just ongoing. So I was like, whoa. And I messaged Andy immediately. And then you saw, well, you had actually already been informed about it. But I don't think it's been as talked about here as much as I feel like I hear it 24/7.
Yeah, it didn't sink in until you said something.
Yeah.
And my voice is messed up. I'm a little sick.
So Andy is here.
I'm at a disadvantage. So if some of my points, if Eduardo sounds like he makes more sense, it's because I'm not able to fire back this time.
Okay. Excuses. I'm kidding.
It's
no,
true.
No. Andy, I was trying to tell Andy just before this video that we should postpone and possibly do it during the week, but Andy doesn't want to do it.
No.
So
Important.
Let's see how we try to do this.
If Macron can give his speech today, I can do the same.
Okay, the revolutionary, you see.
also mention our next episode or upcoming episodes about questions we were going to ask.
Yes. So, two things before we move on to our topic of the day. And that is, we will have a year, end of the year episode where we will feature some questions that from audience members that would like to contribute, any questions they would like to ask us. And we will also review some of the episodes and see more of a reflection of how we have done so much in so, I feel, little time. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Andy, who has been persistent to do this every week.
And you too.
And editing the videos, all thanks to Andy. And I just checked them quickly.
Sort of.
But Andy is a really, like, I am so grateful for you that you have done everything. This is really... Andy is the person in the back of the curtains.
Yeah.
So we will do some reflecting on the at the end of the year episode, and we hope that people can provide us some feedback and provide us some questions.
Yeah, and we're also going to respond to questions we've gotten over the months we've done this.
Yes, that I have not responded to. I know there are a couple of people that have asked questions. Please make sure to subscribe. Review, rate, subscribe, and share with anyone. We're on YouTube, we are on BitChute, we are on Stitcher, we are on Google Play and iTunes.
Yeah.
Just for people as a reminder. Thank you very much for people who continue to listen to us. Mm-hmm. All right, let's dive in. Whoa, these protests, no? Mm-hmm. The protest began in the 17th of November, and it started off by a woman, first of all. It was just it was a change.org thing first, a petition thing that had started.
Yeah.
And initially, it was just in response to the increase of the taxes on the fuel, on the fossil, on fossil fuels or on gas, petrol. Mm-hmm. Then two other people decided to call for a demonstration to try to have thousands of people show up on the streets and blockade with their yellow vests, because in 2008 they had decided to have the yellow vests as a symbol, not as a symbol, but it was legislated for the people who were driving could just be visible. So it was a requirement. So they said, okay, well, why not? It was a cheap commodity, it was a symbol of their movement, and they decided to go out and protest. Well, it started off as just having a protest against fuel taxes. This, it just expanded. And really, on the 1st of December was some of the largest. And then following after that, mm-hmm. it has been continuing. We're on the 10th of December. And just this Saturday, there were so many protests. And it's gone so viral and big in France that it's even affected places like Brussels. And even I was reading in Iraq, where they are now also taking, although they're getting a little smaller, but mm-hmm. still it's widening, and it's not
in Germany, Netherlands, other places. Yeah,
it's not anymore about fuel taxes. It's about wages, living wages. It is about the wealth gap, spreading the wealth in France
in response to wealth inequality that's growing. Yes,
and in response also to feeling that Macron is completely out of touch with the working class people.
And in touch with the rich and banks.
Yes, he was a minister of the economy under François Hollande, his administration. So people thought he was going to be, but it was really just choosing I hope I'm saying this right, better of two evils.
The lesser evil.
The less.
You've heard that before, haven't you? Lesser evil.
No, the lesser of two evils. Yeah, okay. No. Sorry. Can you cut that out? Let me say this again.
No.
The lesser of two evils.
But it's here, too. People think they get the lesser of evil, and they get the same crap even worse.
No, they really was trying to pick out between Marine Le Pen or Emmanuel Macron. And Marine Le Pen, who is a nationalist, mm-hmm. and Macron won by a landslide. So it was really just trying to pick of these two evils. It's just this phrase that's mm-hmm. why I mention it. Well, I feel as if this is just, it's a mixmash. Do you say mixmash?
Sure. Mishmash.
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 Cut.
No.
We're just cut.
It's fine. Cut. We know what you're saying.
Mix match. Okay. You see, you hear so much of what's going on, but you never apply it correctly. Yeah. All right. It's the movement. What I was just talking with you, Andy, earlier before we started recording, the movement is not left or right wing. It is a mixture of people. And there's even trade unions were hesitant to participate.
They stayed out.
Yeah. But now many of them, like paramedics, are participating with the students. Mm-hmm. And it's just growing. It is not, and there is no leader that Macron can't even negotiate with the movement because there isn't, it's very autonomous and anarchic. Mm-hmm. Anarchic being a positive thing here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, because there isn't a way for the government to sort of, all right, well, let's see what are your demands and we can try to negotiate something. So it's just escalating and escalating to the point where there are even deaths, and to the point where now the prime minister had to step in. Remember, because France, for US American audiences, I think this is important, that in France there's a prime minister and there is a president. You have both. You can have both. In some places like England, you only have a prime minister, and here in the USA we only have a president. But in France you have both. So the prime minister had to step in and say, it is best that we unite the country and instead of going over this tax. But the Yellow Vests movements are going beyond the fossil fuel, the tax.
The government has already conceded and has withdrawn the tax.
Today is Monday, so Macron spoke today.
Yeah. Well, that happened earlier. Is the government has withdrawn the tax a week earlier and said they're not going to go forward with the tax. What they decided to do today was talk about an increase in minimum wage, a small increase in pensions. Mm-hmm. There was something else about, there's some other parts. I'll hold on here.
Yeah, why don't we?
At least take a look mm-hmm. What Macron agreed to. let's see. asking profit-making companies to give workers tax-free year bonuses. And abolition of taxes on overtime pay. So these are the concessions that have been agreed to already.
And nothing less, or rather resignation of Macron is what they have been demanding. They've been
well, that's just what Macron agreed to today in his speech.
Oh, you're talking about... Yeah, yes. But yes. I'm saying if they agreed to. I didn't listen to the full speech, I will admit, today.
Yeah.
So I was doing other things. But I know that yesterday I had read that they had, or Saturday they had these demands, and if nothing else, they were going to ask for their resignation to go out.
Yeah, but they have a...
So he has already conceded, and I didn't follow up on this latest news, but...
There's a list of like 47 demands that are now, you can find online, that come from the yellow vests. Mm. It's a very mishmash of, end homelessness, bring back social services for maternity wards, for healthcare, for the development of public transport, particularly in the non-urban areas, in the smaller cities where it's felt like people pay taxes but they're not getting social services. A definite reduction in the indirect taxes, like the gasoline tax. Mm-hmm. The primary way the French government gets tax money is not through income tax. It's through these taxes on cigarettes, gasoline, what are called VAT taxes. Mm-hmm. So those are taxes on working people because they affect everyone equally. So if you're rich or poor, mm-hmm. you pay. It's like a sales tax. Sales tax is a regressive tax on working people, and that's primarily how the French government gets its money, is from those sorts of sources. The other thing is that about a year ago, Macron withdrew a wealth tax on capital gains, basically removed that, and supposedly some of the social services that are going to be that are being withdrawn because they're not collecting this wealth tax, mm-hmm. we're going to come from this carbon tax that's supposed to protect the environment, but it's actually a tax on workers again. So people were disgusted by this. So they don't just want the withdrawal of the gas tax. They want the reimposition of the wealth tax on the wealthiest. Mm-hmm. One of their demands is to basically say big corporations should pay big taxes, and small employers should pay small taxes. And it is true that there's a political mix in there around immigration. While there's statements of wanting resources for asylum seekers, there are also two things in there about making sure people who have been refused asylum are sent back to their country, are sent back to their home country. And secondly, if you're coming into this country, you have to learn French culture, French language, French traditions. So that's definitely not, I would not call that a left-wing demand. But it is true, this is, at the heart of this is anger over inequality. It's like what we talked about last time, the thing that fuels Brexit, the thing that has fueled the anger in this country about growing inequality, a growing sense that people are having a trouble getting ahead. And but the big deal to me is the fact that, the biggest part of this that's important to me is the militancy, is the willingness of workers, and it's predominantly white, not exclusively white, but predominantly white and predominantly working class from the non-urban areas and middle class, like small business owners, people who are self-employed, whether they be truck drivers and things like that, people who actually need to drive into the city to make a living. Gentrification is part of this because people have been pushed out of the cities, and so their job is in the city, and that's why the gas tax is going to bite so deep. It's not that the tax itself is so big, it's just people are tired of being taxed and taxed and taxed, and while their wages themselves are being flat, and they feel like they're getting by with less because prices are increasing.
And if anyone has tried to live in Paris, because I have tried, I had to live outside in the suburbs outside of Paris. Paris is very expensive.
Yeah.
And Macron's response to people who think that it's too expensive and they cannot have a job, he says, well, cross the street and you'll find a job.
I think the real issue is here. There's no reason the government responded except for the fact that people are willing to go out into the streets and break laws, right? And disrupt the economy. This is happening during the Christmas season. Businesses are reporting profits 20%, 25% down during the most important business season of the year, which is Christmas. And the fact that the demonstrators could care less about that they were disrupting traffic, disrupting essentially the flow of goods and people into these cities and out of these cities is really, I think, the reason that they've been able to be so effective. And we have to learn a lesson from that. First of all, there was a, last spring, there was a railway strike led by the CGT, the largest union in France, and the CGT refused to endorse these initial protests. Now they're getting behind it. But when the CGT ran the railway strike because there was threats of privatization, threats of cut to pensions, threats to wages, threat to work conditions, the CGT engineered a strike very similar to the Unite local strike, which is there was some slowdown of the trains, but they pretty much reached an agreement with the people who ran the trains that they were going to let scab operation run and let the trains run and not inconvenience commuters too much and not inconvenience and not shut down the profits of the business. Mm-hmm. Well, because of that, they bled the militancy of the workers. The workers ultimately lost. The workers ultimately conceded to a privatization of their of the rail system, of a reduction in their pensions, of a reduction, well, not a reduction in wages, but they don't see a big wage increase, and work conditions were flat or were worse. So I really think you have to compare a union which has an organized working class which could have shut down the system and made a real big impact but refused to, compared to what's happened here with these non-unionized, non-organized combination from the left, from the right, working class, a political mix of people from the working class, from the middle classes coming together. But the most important thing we have to learn is because they refused to be cowed by, you know, oh, you have to obey the law, oh, you can't do that, because they basically did what they wanted to do to make sure that their cause was heard and to make sure that they got what they wanted, well, they're beginning to see demands met. And we have to understand that that's the way we're going to have to fight today and going forward. So I think there's a big lesson to be learned out of the nature of the way these Yellow Jackets have fought and their unwillingness to be to abide by the law and to abide by the idea that, oh, well, you know, you're getting in the way of business, so stop this. They said, we know we're getting in the way of business. We're not going to let business continue because we're tired of letting business go as usual, because business as usual has meant our wages go down, our working condition, our living conditions go down, social services are not there for us anymore. There's talks of wanting to reopen maternity wards and post offices that were shut down in these smaller towns. And so these people are fighting in the way that we would need to fight in organized labor.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about my own country here, because in 2017, I feel this is very similar sentiment in Mexico, because in 2017, actually in 2016, Enrique Peña Nieto, the former president of Mexico, was in negotiations about what kind of reform he was going to do on gasoline, mm-hmm. gasoline. And then in January 2017, I was in Mexico, and I was traveling there with my family. When I remember that there was a big protest in response to Enrique Peña Nieto when he decided to impose also a 20% increase on tax on gas prices, mm-hmm. and the protests were around the country. And they even had put out Mexican people. They put out these large, what do you call it, like rat or mouse traps?
Yeah.
Yeah, in front of the deputies, in front of the official, the representative, in front of politicians, in front of their homes, in front of their offices, because they were calling them rats.
Yeah.
Because it's rateros means you're stealing from us, mm-hmm. the poor, mm-hmm. or the working class. And these protests happened in Mexico, and they lasted for 10 days. But they did not; they weren't every day. They were different parts of the country in total 10 days. And there was a big crackdown, which I'm seeing now in France are trying to do as well, with the water cannons and the armored police coming in. Mm-hmm. And in Mexico, the president did not concede, and what Mexicans did was they decided to open up the pipes of gas and station themselves in Mexico and sell the gas cheaply.
Yeah.
And that's how they dealt with it. But mm-hmm. And then eventually it died out and did not continue. This was just last year. Mm-hmm. And now France is going through this 20% increase as well. Mm-hmm. There's a difference in currency, though, definitely. But what I'm trying to get at is that I feel as if with this, it's in government, it's out of touch with the reality of what is happening on the ground with people when they don't have the means to be able to support themselves and still having to pay for a means or a mode of transportation that is accessible for their work. Mm-hmm. And for my friends that are environmentalists, because they were conflicted about this because it was a carbon tax, I had even told you that. Right. At first I had thought, well, what, because I was thinking that a carbon tax, an environmental friendly change onto the people, is almost something that people were getting mixed messages about, that they should be in support of. And the Yellow Vests say that, as you have, I think had said, is not that there is anything that is there against the climate change reform. It is that it is unbalanced. It is not spread out. This is not they're not carrying the same burden as people that are rich. And the rich should be the taxed, yes. Not the poor, because they're the ones in the companies as well. They're the ones who should be, they're the ones the most
fossil fuel burning. They're the ones doing the most, yeah, doing the most destruction to the environment. They're the ones who should pay for it. And the idea that you're, I mean, that's the fraud behind this, is actually...
It's covered under
yes,
this.
Is that this carbon tax, what it is a tax on workers. And let's be clear, there was a sugar tax passed in San Francisco to make it so that people don't eat as much sugar for your sodas.
We are divided here.
Yeah, no, but this is what I'm saying. Uh-huh. It's the same thing. That's a tax on workers. Cigarette tax, tax on workers. Carbon tax like this on gasoline, tax on workers. It lets the capitalist off the hook. So in all these cases, people, you should be opposed to those taxes, because we're not going to let them charge our fellow workers for crap that is their problem. If you want to stop the cigarette company, go after the profits of the cigarette companies. Don't go after the working people who use these things. Again, we're just allowing them to divide us. So the French are right about the carbon tax. They're right about all those taxes. And it exposes a weakness even in our own country around this question of taxes. Sales taxes are regressive. Sales taxes, and even sales taxes that we use to like help people make better decisions, those are just patronizing nonsense. All they are sales taxes and let the capitalists off the hook. Or they are taxes on working people that left the capitalists off the hook.
This is where I feel I'm being revelatory with my people, with us. I'm not, maybe it doesn't relate. You can cut this out. I'm still trying to figure out how to feel about sales tax on like soft drinks, because I do think that people have, like with cigarettes, for example, people have decreased their usage because it is expensive. You don't understand? I have seen documented cases where, because it is very expensive, people do have decreased their usage over it. And maybe this doesn't belong here, but maybe that is not the trajectory we want to go through, or the path we want to take, because there are other alternatives to be able to curb this addiction, and mm-hmm. we couldn't figure those
out without going after workers.
Yeah.
Which is what you're doing. You're making workers pay for it. It's the stress of workers' lives which often lead them to drink,
yeah.
to do all these things,
yeah.
and now you've got you doubly so they've already affected their health due to the stress at work, the different things they do to escape that stuff, and now you put a tax on them to make them pay financially for it. It's nonsense. So no, we can keep this in here because this is all part of it.
I don't know if I want to keep it, but it's more revelatory, because if we're going to keep it, then I have to sort of expand on it, because I don't know how people might rip me apart. I run for it? Candidacy one day.
Well, don't tax me. Don't give me any more of your sugar taxes and sales taxes and cigarette taxes and gun taxes.
I wasn't saying that I supported. What I was saying was more of how, as a society, just not to say that I am for it. I am saying, as a society, how do we curb certain things? How do we... It's this thing where I feel as if maybe sometimes like fast food chains should not exist enough, because the more fast food chains exist...
How about we tax the profits of those companies? How about we make it so they can barely make profits? How about that? They're the ones producing the stuff.
You know how I feel.
Why do you even hesitate to do that? Like, why are you so quick to tax the person using it, and not the producers making all the money off of the drug or the bad food or whatever? You're letting them get away with murder, and you want to tax fellow workers? That makes sense.
I wasn't stating that.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah. Like, I give you a solution, and now you stop talking.
Because I'm thinking, Andy.
All right. See.
An attack already, even when you're sick. I'm thinking. Yeah. This reminds me of the conversation. I'm going off on tangent again. But this reminds me of a conversation where there is this woman that has adopted 7 children from women that were drug users. Mm. And she goes around the country sterilizing, paying women to be sterilized.
That sounds awful.
And she has... This is a conversation... As I'm saying, it's a very large... But she pays women to have them be sterilized. And because she knows the effects of having women having children.
Okay. Well, our country has a history of doing crap like that in Africa.
Yeah, I understand. So, but I'm just saying that... No. It's not like I'm just trying to, I don't want to say both sides because Trump has already coined that. So I'm trying to see another viewpoint of That's what fine. Their reasoning is. Yeah. Not to say that I'm supporting it.
Their reasoning is to a racist anti-worker.
I can link her. Her reason is not racist. Her reason is to prevent babies from being born from mothers that cannot parent.
It's white. It's white man's burden, basically stuff. It's no different than the folks who said, we're gonna go into your country and we know better than what's for you, so we're gonna induce you to do the things you would not do. If you want to empower those people, give them jobs, give them education. Don't give them money. Yeah. So they can sterilize themselves.
And that has been the criticism that she has had.
Of course.
They tell her this. Right. And then she says, where is it?
Well,
no one's doing anything about it. And yet I am.
She's not doing anything. She's a parasite and a person who's taking advantage of the pain and suffering that exists on this planet and using it to sterilize women across, you know, wherever she's doing it. I don't agree with that, but...
In the South,
Yeah, but it's happening, obviously. It's no different than what the United States does in this country when it did it with black people. Or
she
when they
does get consent. I mean, if you can call it consent when someone is an addict.
Right. It's the same kind of consent that prisoners who are fighting the fires are consenting to fight the fires for $2 a day. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway.
Well, I was relating it to this sales tax. And
right.
And then we went on to the sales tax. And where I do stand is when we're talking about this topic in particular, I do think that... this is completely unfair that Macron is targeting, let's go back on our topic, mm-hmm. that the targeting unfairly the working class and not tackling the people who should be taxed, right. which is the wealthy.
Right. I think another thing that was interesting to me is we haven't seen it in this country yet, but we will. I talked about how when white workers, mm-hmm. whether it's not just black workers or anarchists who are going to face tear gas and repression by the state, here you can see directly that, you know, it's predominantly white as far as I can tell. It's not exclusively white, but when white workers come up and actually fight against their state, they will face brutality by the state. That's going to happen here as well. So people should be under no illusion that this white privilege will keep the state from coming in and cracking the heads of white people as well, if they happen to stand up and say no. So we need that to happen in this country for that to be revealed.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of things are hidden underneath this notion, oh, that the police will only crack the heads of black people or Latinos. They will do that, and they definitely do it in this country. And the Democratic Party is responsible for a giant increase in the police departments across the state, across the country, and as well as the increase in the prison population and the brutalization of black and Latino people. But that this police department is built to crack the heads of black, white, Latino, immigrant, native workers, and that's what we're seeing in France. Those police exist, the gendarmes or whatever they put on their back. Lenin called the state armies of bodies of armed men, and that's what they are. They are there to protect the status quo of the rich who hide behind that state and require that state to defend their interests, and that's what we're seeing there. The state is scared right now because they haven't seen something like this before. Mm-hmm. We need to scare our state in this country. That's what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. We will not see...
That is the reason why they have conceded.
That's exactly. It's the fear the state has. It's the fear the capitalist has. It's this fear in the context of Christmas time when they make all their money. They haven't been that frightened since possibly the red wave that we experienced last year. Let me tell you something that does not frighten them. Elections. You know, voting. Mm-hmm. Anything. Like any year, okay, the way you frighten them is you fight back and you challenge their right to profits, and you say no, I don't care about your profits. Mm-hmm. That's what Local 2 had to do. Unfortunately, they were bled. That's what the CGT workers in France needed to do. They got bled and ultimately I think were defeated. But that's not the mistake that these Yellow Jackets are making, and we need to learn that lesson. Mm. Although I will say that. It is true that it has a lack of coherence and lack of organization. Mm-hmm. They will pay a price for that later on.
I was going to bring that up with you, Andy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because it gives me flashbacks of the Occupy movement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can speak to this. Because I think that when you have a sort of
a variety of
people, yeah. And you don't have a coherent goal. Now they are having demands. You said that they are having a list of demands, but even still, if it is this very vague, mm-hmm. and disorganized movement, that it is a vulnerable,
yes.
place for any capitalist in power to be able, mm-hmm. to be able to write their strike.
Yes,
because. You can divide people, yep. but when you because divide to conquer,
mm-hmm. exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But when people are united,
yep.
then it works best.
Yeah.
So maybe you can talk about history of revolutions of how they have worked to be able to unite against, powerful people.
It is the reason that revolutionaries do believe there needs to be a political party that has. You know, revolutionaries in it who are committed to that cause, who can be among these workers, whether they be in the rural areas or in the urban areas, it needs to be a mass party of such people who are not willing to accept compromises and are not going to allow to be divided along national boundaries or gender boundaries or identity boundaries, who are basically saying, no, we're going to unite as a working class. We don't have such a party in this country. We don't have a revolutionary party, and that's, I do believe it existed in Russia in 1917, and that helped make that revolution possible. Without that sort of leadership that's part of the movement, not above the movement, but part of that movement that comes out of it, mm-hmm. that has it within its ranks, then a movement like this is going to be picked apart mm-hmm. politically. The 47 demands, if you read them, are, like I said, they're sometimes they do overall tell a picture of people who are talking about the divide between rich and poor, mm-hmm. the lack of social services and things like that. But really, there's some contradictory demands there as a result of the contradictory interests that are in this big movement.
Yeah.
And those contradictory interests will ultimately be able to be capitalized on by the capitalist class to pull one group their way, pull another group this way, and also. The movement itself is going to fracture along those lines when one demand is met and another demand is not. Mm-hmm. People have said, is this a revolution? No, it's not. It's not a revolution. It will not lead to an overturning of capitalist relations, which is the only revolution that really matters at this point, is whether a revolution that gets rid of the profit system. This movement is not going to do that. This movement might take down a government. It might mean Macron has to leave if it really advanced, although I don't think it will. Mm-hmm. But for it to be a revolutionary movement, it needs to be. It would need to have not just hundreds of thousands of people in the streets. It would be millions of people in the streets. But you would need a party of probably hundreds of thousands of people who are committed, not in just join the train when I get there, but people who want to build the train of the revolution. Mm-hmm. You know, hundreds of thousands of those people who are actually part of all these communities, part of these unions, who are helping galvanize the struggle in that direction and not letting it get divided. But that doesn't exist there. It doesn't exist here. And this movement will eventually will either peter out or it will be pulled apart by its different political interests that are within it.
But what I was reading about was that because it doesn't have a mass party or a leader, mm-hmm. that is the reason why the right and the left are able to unite in this single front for now.
Right, but but the interests of the right and the interests of the left are going to be different. Mm-hmm. I mean, the right is the one who's saying, well, you've got to speak French when you come in here. If the left starts speaking that nonsense, then it's not the left. The left would have to say, no, these immigrants are my brothers. We have to give them the same social services I want for us, I want for the immigrants who are coming in here. Mm-hmm. The right won't agree to that. Okay, so something's got to give. Yeah. The one is, like we talked about last time, one is strictly bounded by the national interests, and the French ruling class will take advantage of that. The other one would have the viewpoint of an internationalist mm-hmm. and doesn't care about French profits, doesn't care about the French state, doesn't care about the U.S. state, but doesn't care about the French state either. Mm-hmm. And so it is not interested in maintaining corporate profits or maintaining the solvency of the state. It's interested in one thing: working class revolution, establishing a worker state, and spreading that revolution abroad. And that means building links between us, U.S. workers and immigrant workers. That means building links between French workers and immigrant workers. The fact that they're confused about that means their movement is done. Like, it won't go forward. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. I mean, I read that and I realized, unless you get clear on that stuff, you know, yeah, you're going to get your, they're going to make some changes in the tax and they're going to frighten the government. The lesson we should learn is a lesson of militancy, but this movement is not going to make any significant impact on capitalism.
Mm-hmm. How would you respond to the violence? Because many of my friends in Paris, they're saying that they joined the Yellow Vest in the beginning and then all of us sent in igniting vehicles. There was a woman that was an 83-year-old woman that was trying to close her boutique shop, and she was killed as the gear came onto her. Mm. They're in the touristy area and they are defacing monuments and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that is why some people that are stepping out of the Yellow Vest movement.
No, actually, I mean, actually, the first of all, the political support of the Yellow Vest movement is very high in France.
But I also saw a different opinion. Yes, I saw that as well.
Macron's numbers are way down. They're up to 80%. Now,
the movement is getting support, but not the violence.
Well, I'm not...
I saw it, and I can link it. There's a difference.
I'll say this thing that I saw a French woman who was interviewed who considers herself part of the Yellow Vest and did think that some of the violence was unfortunate, but she said this. She said, if that violence hadn't happened, if the people who were willing to go farther, and it's going to lead to things like that, mm-hmm. were not willing to do that, then our movement would have been ignored. They never would have paid attention to it. And I agree with her. Mm-hmm. That if you are going to have to fight their violence. I mean, what are these police shooting tear gas? What is that? Mm-hmm. That's organized violence. That's violence we all think should
water
happen.
Cannons.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. of course, our side's going to have to be prepared to be violent itself in order to fight for its aims. Mm-hmm. And unless you're willing to do that, and what I mean by violent is that's militant. That means I'm not going to just be passive and go on a hunger strike, mm-hmm. right? No, they were going to actually they were going to break laws. They were going to defy the police, defy the state. That's violence. That's what the state defines it as, lawless vigilantism. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that's what they needed to do, and that's what made their movement effective to the extent that it was effective. politically, it's too diverse to lead to a revolution. But it was clear about one thing.
What do you mean too diverse?
That means it brings together a whole mishmash of right and left, anti-immigrant, pro-immigrant, okay, nationalist, and possibly some internationalist. I think it's mostly nationalist, and nationalist in the way we talked about, like patriotic and stuff like that. Nationalist left, nationalist right are all within that. But the degree of, you know, mm-hmm, revolutionaries within there is probably a small number, but they're in there. So the effectiveness of this movement is in its militancy, its willingness to use violence, and like we heard stories, sometimes there was episodes of homophobia going on there, episodes of racism going on there. That would happen. That's going to hurt your movement. You're going to have to deal with that in that movement. But all of these things are, like, you can't have rain without thunder and lightning, you know? And so the militancy is going to produce these sorts of moments when people are going to, like, when bad things are going to happen. Yeah. But a movement has to be willing to go far and can't be afraid of the fact that it might lose support. The fact is that the support among French is, what it was, 80% among the French working class, mm-hmm, and 56% among the professional class. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the capitalists. I mean, like, middle class, more educated people. And it makes sense to me. It makes sense to me because people are tired of taking it on the chin. They've been experiencing the violence of loss of wages, of loss of services. That means violence for them in terms of lack of access to healthcare, lack of being able to pay for the things they need to be able to pay for. Mm-hmm. And so they're willing to fight back to reclaim that for themselves. Mm. And they should.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said Macron's favor is going down. Mm. And I think that has been slowly, this is culminating because he, like I had said earlier and pointed out, that he is out of touch with the working class and out of touch with the French people. I said, he said this comment that he even told a trade union worker once, he said, "You don't scare me with that shirt. It takes a job to buy a suit." Or he'll say things like, "Everywhere I see jobs and opportunities, people are always telling me there's a need for staff. Mm-hmm. Just cross the street." That's mm-hmm. when he said that. "Cross the street and you'll find a job. Look for work." Mm-hmm. And so people feel he is stuck up, privileged, and not relatable, and that he already was working under a previous administration, like I said, the Ministry of Economy, and he wasn't neither Bernie Sanders, Jeremy Corbyn-like left-wing politician when he was running, but he also wasn't a nationalist the way that Marine Le Pen was running as a France First sort of Trump-like person. And he, when you said this, I feel as if personally that, again, we go back to the elections, that people felt as if they had to choose between two people, and they have to choose between, when it comes to these elections, in order for their country to be stable, in order for their country to continue and not be a right-wing nationalist country. Mm-hmm. But then there's resentment is there, because it is just culminating from he was elected in 2017, and then you it's just very recent. We're already at the end of 2018, and people are not satisfied. So what that just goes to show is that there's more than just elections, is what I'm trying to get at, and there is also a criticism of these neoliberal policies that we have to look at when we think about who are they really defending there. Mm-hmm. And he is defending truly all his the wealthy buddies that he has. And the carbon tax that we had talked about is a mask, again, mm-hmm. is a mask to say that we are doing a climate change friendly thing when we should really be focusing on the larger bullies that are out there, mm-hmm. that are need to be, and that are getting out with their own tax evasions. Right. And offshore taxes.
Yeah, yeah. And a lesson to learn from this, because I'm glad in some ways you bring up this election as a context for it, is the way we will see these political officials do the things we want is not from them feeling supported by us. They need to feel afraid of us. Mm-hmm. Macron won't be saying anything like that to a yellow jacket, right? He won't be saying something, oh, da 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 da. He'll say that to a union member right now, because unions are basically like lapdogs right now. They're lapdogs in France, and they're lapdogs in this country. Mm. I'm a union member, and my union is part of that whole apparatus. And we as workers have been unwilling to go on strike. We voted to not go on strike by ratifying contracts. As long as we continue to do that, we will be treated as we deserve.
Your union.
My union, yeah. Mm-hmm. As long as we do that, and other unions around this country and around the globe, we're going to get treated like we deserve. We're going to get treated. The Democrats will tell us nice things, but they have no respect for us, not an ounce of respect for us. Mm. They despise us. But not only do they despise us, they have contempt for us. Mm. The Republicans, of course, they have contempt for us. Both of them. The only way we're going to earn that respect is if they are afraid of us. And the only way they'll be afraid of us is if we go on strike and we don't give two licks about their profits, about their state, about their laws, anything. Mm. We have to care. And that's, again, that is the lesson of the Yellow Jackets, is you cannot give a hoot about that stuff. Mm-hmm. The Yellow Jackets are a desperate grouping in some ways. They're not all centered in one workplace to be able to shut down. So they had to do what workers who fight water struggles in Bolivia did, right? Mm-hmm. Shut down streets, shut down intersections in order to preserve this, the one thing they need to live, which is water. So they're just using tactics of indigenous people in Bolivia who are fighting a life and death struggle for water. These people are feeling that same pinch. So what they're doing is not just a show. It's like they're basically saying, what can we do to basically be felt and cause pain to the system and make our cause known? That is the way we need to think, because teachers, transit workers, restaurant workers, we can do an immense amount of pain to our bosses and to our public officials. And we don't do it ever when we vote. We do it when we act together in striking. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that this, again, going back, circling around back to this unity, that is where I think the power will lie in, because you have seen, and unfortunately these movements are happening during the winter, mm-hmm. or like you see Standing Rock mm-hmm. happen mm-hmm. during this time,
right.
And then, you know, people, and then Occupy movement starts in September mm-hmm. as well, mm-hmm. and then now this is starting, and then you get into the colder months, mm-hmm. and then you have, it's just an observation, mm-hmm. but unity is called for. And I think that if you don't have, I saw this in the Occupy movement, so much chaos. I tried to be a part of a working group,
yeah.
And it's just so much disunity, not right. unity enough, the unity. Right. I did not see it.
There, and we've been understanding that lack of unity in terms of the issues of trying to create a unified, diverse movement, a racially diverse movement, a nationally diverse movement, a gender diverse movement, a sexual orientation. But we're also going to have to deal with a politically diverse movement. And we're going to have to get clear on a lot of questions. The nature of the state, the nature of the Democratic Party, the willingness to break laws, what it is we're fighting for. Are we fighting for reform of the system versus taking the whole system down? All those questions. What if we are not clear on those questions, if we think we're just trying to build just a great U.S. state mm-hmm. that make America great again, not in the Trump way, but in the FDR way kind of thing, like make it so that people can live. If we think we're doing that, then we will get divided and we will not be able to have the kind of world that I think we're going to need to create unless were going to have World War III, we're going to have environmental destruction, we're going to have increased immiseration. And movements like this show us glimmers of what we need to do. But there are also, I mean, we should follow this movement. I think it's going to peter out in the same way Occupy did, along those same lines. And the very strength that made it hard to get a handle of in these early weeks and months are going to actually cause it to fray and fall apart. And again, that for me, that's the lesson of there needs to be a clear, you need to build a party that has a clear goal of what it wants to do, and it needs to be immersed within the working class that it's organizing in.
Well, I certainly hope that they will be united. Mm-hmm. And I think the concessions are a way to calm things
yes.
down.
Yes.
And the concessions are simply a way to keep it in line, in check for the moment.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know, because let me read this quote.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead and say.
But it is a way for people to not get too riled up and to hopefully, yes. because I think that Macron is someone that, as he has stated before, he is not going to change. He is going to proceed, and he has showed a rough and just continue and impose what his agenda is. But I'm sure his advisors told him this is going to get really out of hand if
well,
we don't.
The finance minister, Bruno Le Maire, said new measures should focus on helping France's working class. This is the same guy who helped pass the tax for the rich. Okay, he's now he's suddenly a friend of the French working class. But he said this, quote, "We are ready to make any gesture. What is important now is to put an end to the crisis and find peace and unity in this country again." This is a finance minister who's afraid. And that's what you want your politicians to sound like. You want them to say, we need to make any gesture. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, like you said, the reason for making the gesture is to see how many people they can peel off from the movement
right.
to weaken
yes.
it. That's the reason. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they got to figure out what that is. But they are desperate to reach a deal. And at the very least, you can say the Yellow Jackets accomplished that. We haven't accomplished that in our country in quite some time, getting our ruling class desperate to make a deal, you know? Mm-hmm. And we need to get our ruling class desperate to make a deal again.
I want to give credit to the French as well, because they have a history mm-hmm. of also just all
student walkouts are taking place right now, things like that, in high schools and colleges. So people are just kind of jumping on board, you know? So it's good.
It's part of the French culture, too, and just all the time to make these demands. And you get something out of it. That's why all the social services are really there.
Yeah.
I do think what you're saying, though, is going to hurt the movement ultimately when you have people getting what you peeled off.
Yeah.
Because then you hit a smaller group.
Right. Right.
And that is the concession. That's the reason for this concession.
Yes, that's true.
Yep. Right.
Is that it?
I think.
Do you want to do any sales tax against us now? Like, any, you want to tax my sugar, my soda, my water, something
maybe
else?
Maybe I should comment on this before you start. people start ripping me apart.
Be careful. He's going to.
I went off on a tangent.
No, it was actually related.
And I don't know if I want to keep it. And
we'll see.
Remember.
We'll see.
No, you see, he is making. Let's keep this. We'll see. Because then you will see who is really making control here.
The man behind the whole operation.
Let me attempt to try to go on for 10 minutes to,
no, not
to
10
take
minutes.
Care of myself and not get ripped apart by people. I wasn't promoting a sales tax. I was talking about what I was trying to talk or highlight mm-hmm. is that as humans, and I had mentioned this as well, that my faith in humanity is a little, what do you call it, is pessimistic. I have this thing that where we need our fathers and our parents to tell us to do things sometimes. Mm. Because
you're not making any friends.
because I see people doing the most stupidest things and not making the wisest choices. But when there is, and it's sad, and I'm not in agreement with it, but it's my observation that when there is this imposed legislation or this imposed curbing of something, that people's behavior is suddenly changed if you do it massively.
Can I pass a vote for the Democratic Party tax? Whenever you vote for a Democrat, you get taxed some for that vote because it's not in your interest. So I'm going to tax you for it. Can I?
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I do. Maybe you can
articulate.
I can't.
I'm not
I don't
really
agree with
good
it.
At articulating. No, but you articulate my.
Yeah, no.
We should move on. Then we're going to cut it out.
We'll probably cut it out.
Yes,
fuck.
Good. Okay.
All right. That's too bad.
We're moving on. We're cutting it out. That's Andy's answer. I'm cutting it out. I have
anyway.
A chance to explain or not. And if it's not explained, cut. I was trying to just explore the devil's advocate side of the position on
okay.
sales tax. I was not declaring a position, and I hope people do not pin me down to a position. And I apologize if anyone had thought I'm trying to state a position that is mine. No, I would have difficulties, as everyone knows now, and we can discuss it in the end of the year video, where
yes.
I have difficulties articulating my thoughts And in this, because we're not here for, we're not here for like a real, we're doing this kitchen conversation, this cafe conversation on video for people. And I'm just talking from developing my or speaking out loud as a soundboard for everyone to hear my thoughts out loud, not stating positions.
Right. And I appreciate what you're saying. And I think this thing we're debating, which I never...
It's not a debate. I am not for it.
Okay. This thing we're discussing, which is like a play debate.
It's not a debate.
All right. All right.
You're debating other people who support you.
Yes. The debate I'm having just bringing up against people who really support these things is one that other people think about as well. It is an issue raised by what's going on in France. And, you know, the reason we did this whole website and channel was to promote discussion, have debate, and not be afraid that, you know, people are going to be like, oh, he's wrong, I'm wrong, whatever. That's not important. I think what's important is, what do people who listen to this, does it get them thinking? What do they believe? So, and again, that's something we're going to discuss later about what this channel is really about. We have been offline discussing, like, what do we think this channel is about? Because we had some early ideas when we first started it. And I think some of those ideas have held true, but some of them have shifted around or been more clarified. You know, so we hope to discuss it on one of our episodes, you know, so we hope it'll be interesting.
I will reiterate, I'm not debating Andy. I'm discussing something that I have heard this side over there.
I'm really looking forward to that Democratic Party tax.
Bringing it here to the table for Andy to look at it and say, what do you have to say about this?
I support a 5-cent tax on anybody who votes for a Democrat.
So I'm not stating a position. I will reiterate that I was bringing up the devil's advocate of what human behavior on sales tax and massive shift as legislation controls or sways people.
And next week, we'll be doing our episode. We're doing our episode, but we're going to be doing it by Skype.
Yeah, I will be in Mexico for a month. Yeah. So I will try to Skype with you.
And definitely one of those episodes we'll be talking about AMLO and Mexican politics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But we'll also be using this as a retrospective to talk to, like, if you have questions about any of our episodes that you never asked, ask them now. Put them up on our blog, our What's Left blog. You can find it on web. You could ask questions to WebNode by sending an email, or you can put it on somewhere on the YouTube channel. That's the easiest way. So if you have questions about anything we've done, anything we've said, or any questions for us, put them on there and we'll get to them.
Even personal questions, right? If you want to ask us things and you want to get to,
because we've heard stuff offline, but people aren't willing to write it down.
Yeah. So we'll bring it and we'll probably do something like your initial. CW
or something. I haven't thought about that. Yeah.
And ask this question or something like that.
Right.
All right. So that's it.
That's it.
Finally. Thank you very much. And we will see each other. Please subscribe, rate, review, and share with everyone. We're on YouTube, BitChute, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Thank you very much.
Take care.